I'm Sarah Wright with KZYX, and I'm here at the community meeting in Nice on August 30th. Can you introduce yourself?
Frank Abley. I'm district ranger for the Upper Lake and Covelo Ranger Districts, so the Mendocino National Forest.
And one of the questions that came up after your after Jess's presentation was, how are forest management practices going to change? And you said, you know, this is a game-changing fire. Can you go into a little bit of detail about that, with the understanding that it's a developing situation?
Yeah, what I meant was, as I also mentioned earlier, is, you know, we had a program of work that we were developing of what we're going to do over the next 5 years, and it's completely changed it. We have to reset, figure out what we're going to be doing. I don't know if forestry practices, as far as the changes go, you know, we're going to be looking into what do we do for restoration up there. How is climate change or anything like that could impact the ability to certain areas to even hold a forest for the next 20, 30 years? Those are the questions that we're asking. We learned some lessons about the frequency of prescribed fire and how they were very successful, and then other treatments that were not successful. And so the treatments that were not successful, we're probably not going to do those like that anymore. So we'll change our, you know, we monitor and we adapt and we try to do the best we can.
And can you talk a little bit about the use of prescribed burns in the forest and how extensive they've been and how successful they've been?
Yes, we have a fairly small burn program right now. I mean, it's the problem with the challenge we have on this side of the forest is the climate. Once it gets a little moisture in there where we're comfortable and we fall into the prescription for prescribed fire, there's a very short period of time before all of a sudden it's too wet to burn anything and it's not going to carry. And so we have a very small window to be able to do prescribed burning. We have been increasing our burned acres every year for the last couple of years. And in fact, this year, Region 5 as a whole has met or exceeded their historical prescribed burn acres. So it's a large influence. Influence being put on the Forest Service to increase our pace of scale, both mechanical thinning and prescribed fire use. We maybe on this district alone, we only maybe burn a couple hundred acres a year. I'm working to increase that. This fire will actually allow us in the future to increase that.
And how big is this forest? I feel like we've heard so much about the forest and there's so much basic stuff we should know, but I don't think I even know how big the forest is.
Yeah, the Mendocino National Forest is just shy of 1 million acres. It's like 999,008 something, you know, just shy of 1 million acres. My two districts I handle is about half of that, 500,000 acres. And like I said, this fire was 400,000 acres, or somewhere around 160,000 of that was on my district, 130 of that was on the Grindstone district, and then the remainder on BLM and state land. So good chunk of my district on the south, but my district up north is healthy and open and ready for business. So.
And one thing you expressed some chagrin about was that there were several projects being conducted and studies happening in the forest, and they just burned up. So what were you working on, and what's the future for those projects?
Well, the one big project that we were working on, it was called the Pine Mountain Habitat Enhancement and Protection Project, and it was a combination of mechanical thinning, both commercial and non-commercial, a lot of prescribed fire, and a lot of hand thinning work, fuel reduction work. We were designing the project to enhance late successional habitat for the northern spotted owl and associated species, increasing oak components for prey species. The fire went through there. I've been up there several times looking at the project. There are areas that were not hit as bad, and there are areas that were hit pretty bad. And so right now, to go back to that project, we'd have to completely redo the environmental analysis. The baseline conditions have changed. The other project that we were working on, ironically enough, we were going to start looking at broad-scale prescribed fire of the brush fields above Middle Creek Campground. So that one's kind of off the table now, or at least not something we're going to be doing in the next 10 years. And Horse Mountain area, which is just north of Middle Creek, we had a plantation up there that we're going to start looking at trying to do a commercial and non-commercial thinning project up there because it was really dense. Again, it went through the fire. It's different conditions now. We have to think about what we're going to do.
And I think from Jess's presentation, there are half a dozen watersheds in the burn area that you guys were able to assess. Is that right?
Well, it depends on, you know, when you talk about watersheds, there's different level of watersheds, and we call them, you know, hydrologic unit codes 1 through 12 or whatever it is, and each one's a different size class. The 6 watersheds that they assessed for the phase 1 of the bear assessment, I believe there were 6, the lower 100,000 acres of the fire belt. There's another 200,000 acres to the north that they have to assess. I'm not sure I answered your question.
And it sounded like erosion wasn't, it looked like it's not going to be as extreme as some people were fearing, at least in this portion that was assessed. Do you have any idea what the effect on the watershed and on the watersheds and the lake is going to be? Or is that part of phase 2 or some further phase?
I think it's kind of tough to answer that one because the analysis that was done for a particular storm, and it's a very common storm that we would get for the first of the year. They call it a 2-year storm. And if that storm rolls in, you'll see maybe some of the effects that we saw here today. There will be increased erosion and sedimentation. There's no doubt about that. It's just a matter of how much. If we get an extreme event right off the bat where we get maybe a 20-year storm that's much more intense, then we could see a lot more erosion than what we're predicting right now. But what they used was the appropriate storm to use for their purposes and for this modeling, because it's the most common storm we would usually see rolling in with that first front system of the winter.
So what's next?
Well, what's next is they'll present their report and results to myself and my boss, Ann Carlson, and the forest will take a look at those reports along with all of our staff, and we'll either make some tweaks and the recommendations, or we'll be a little back and forth. And then once we're all in agreement about what we're doing, it'll go up to the Washington Office for Funding, and this all happens very rapidly. It's going to be happening within a week's time. And then the funding comes down, and they bring in what they call an implementation team. And it impacts the forest staff very little. It's nice when they bring these teams in because they've got all these people from outside, just like an incident management team for the fire. And all these people come in, and they'll do the road work, they'll do the treatments, they'll do the trail work for us and take care of it. Hopefully, the goal is obviously before the first rains come. So.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming here.
Excuse me.